We've just finished The Plague of Boils. Speaking of plagues and boils.
There's two big ones right there.
And we're into this thing that no one ever believes. And that's verse 12 of chapter 8. And this Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh.
Verse what?
Verse 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses.
Chapter 9,
I'm sorry. There is no way in God's green earth that you and your mind can believe in a God that hardens the heart in order to accomplish his purpose. Whether it's in yourself or in relationships with people, you cannot believe that it's God that's hardening the heart. If this ever once penetrates, you'll be free of a lot of your activities. It's God that's hardening the heart to prevent, in this case, God's primary purpose, which is the exodus of his people from bondage. God hardens the heart. God hardens your heart. God hardens the heart of the one that's the thorn in your side. Do you understand? At least intellectually? There is no cause that isn't God. There is no second cause. There's only one cause of every emotional outbreak, of every physical phenomenon. There's only one cause. Of every evil that you can imagine, there's one cause. Rex got kicked out of a Bible study in Kentucky.
Oh, really? What did you say?
Wrong thing, apparently.
I'd say that's good for a hug.
And the reason is because he talked in a different dimension, but he talked about this idea of evil. And it has but one cause. I mean, it's the standard religious bullshit of good and evil, and we'll try to be good, and God will help us, and
yeah.
Ad nauseum. But what is it that's troubling you about someone else? God hardens our heart. What is it that's troubling you about you? God is hardening your heart. Period. The reason is so that the effect of the plagues will be seen, experienced, felt, so that all idolatry is destroyed. Unless God hardens your heart at different points, you will not see that your idols are destroyed. You will intellectually believe it for a minute, and then the moment that something happens, boom, they'll be up again. Do you understand how rare it is to believe there's only one cause? And this sets us apart from all other peoples on the face of the earth. There's only one cause. And it'll define how you relate to people. That's why part of Passover is if you have aught against your brother, you have to see it. If both of you can see, God didn't give a crap, a holy shit, if it's resolved. Okay, now we're good friends and we're nice and we're resolved. All it takes is for both of you to see that it's God doing it. Whatever it is, then you can partake of Passover. If one of you is convinced that someone else is out to get you, and you can't hear, you're not going to take Passover. Unless you see there's only one cause, it doesn't matter if there's the worst heinous crime in the world that's committed among us. At Passover, it's if you both see that it's God and nothing else, then we can partake of Passover. In relationships, if you are leaning on someone else for your sustenance, then in truth, that person ought to have aught against you because you're eating his flesh. If he doesn't have aught against you, he has no sensitivity. No. Even in that, if you can see that it's God that's doing it, then you can partake of Passover. You don't have to be any spiritual giant to partake of Passover, otherwise we'd all be in deep shit. All you have to know is that there's only one source, and it's God. Period. 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 Now comes one of the, well, all the plagues are biggies. But there's, in terms of its effect on your day-to-day living, or your day-to-day response to stimulus, there's no more important plague than the plague of hail. And let's read about it. This is in here for a purpose. And if you'll notice, in terms of, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses about the plague of boils. There is 23 verses about the plague of hail. I think that's more about hail than any of them. But anyway, let's read it.
This thing about we're just talking about is what really drives me crazy. It seems like over the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, something like that, there's just been an outbreak of craziness. What appears to me to be craziness. And it drives me crazy because I don't understand it. It seems so...
Wait, you think you're crazy, or there's just craziness around?
No, crazy things. I mean, being here all day long, it's like people come through or phone calls come through and you hear about it. And it's like, I can't believe so-and-so did so-and-so. And then the next minute you hear, so-and-so robbed a bank. Just unbelievable. What to me is unbelievably stupid...
That was Doug.
...stuff. Yeah. And it freaks me out because it doesn't make any sense. Intellectually I hear what we were just talking about. But at a real level, I must not hear it.
Well, remember the three graces that God has given to all men to see God. And those graces manifest themselves in every situation. The three graces are present in each of you. One of them is dominant in everyone. And it's the grace of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The grace of Abraham is the grace of slow, just, I don't want to do this anymore stuff. Over, you know, you just go do your stuff, and then you say, I don't want to do this anymore. You go do something else. And I don't want to do this anymore. You go do something. You go, I don't want to do this anymore. You go, forever and ever, it seems like, 100 years until there was clarity. The grace of Isaac is the grace of instant revelation. But it cost you your life. You're on the altar with your throat cut. And the grace of Jacob is the grace of the struggle, the wrestling with, but somehow not letting go, just keeping on with the wrestle, the struggle. Now, in all of you, all three of those graces are present, and one is dominant. Its only function is the grace what permits you to see God. And here, these graces will permit you to see hardening of the heart, the plague, the hail, etc., etc., etc. Because they all have the same end result of seeing God. And, you know, it's just frustrating as hell to me, because I want you to see the same thing as I do instantly. And then I want you to act like you see the same thing.
That's what frustrates me.
You know, but I finally have seen. The one thing, I mean, there's, you can't believe the shit that's going on. You will not believe it if I stopped and told you. I mean, everybody in the universe has got a problem and they're all calling me. You know, and for every one of them, it's the most serious thing in the world. I mean, it's like, it's the biggie. Well, for me, it's just one of 50. And it's like, you know, I said, well, my God, I mean, this is ridiculous. Why in the hell don't they see? Why don't you see? Comes back to me. God is hardening your heart. Next, I can say, okay. Or why don't, you know, there's areas in me that I, why, I mean, God is hardening my heart. I rest. He's in control. I don't have to do a damn thing. I don't have to act. I don't have to act like I'm nice. I'm not nice. I'm me. Nice isn't a component of me. But neither is nice a component of you. And that's what the refuge of lies that the hail is about to destroy comes against. Nice. All right. Well, it's one of the things it comes against. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. And again, you know where he's gone. Pharaoh's going out to make his morning oblation before the river. All these plagues have hit him, and he's still going out there because that's all he knows to do. Goes out there and throws flowers and incense on the Nile and prays to the 2,500,000 gods that he has. And his little priests are out there in their robes doing stuff. It's a big ceremony every morning by Pharaoh on the Nile, on this beautiful temple. Here comes this dork Moses and his little brother, or his big brother Aaron. Oh, shit. Don't tell me this guy's coming around again. There's all I see every time I see those two guys. All I get is trouble. Why don't somebody just kill him? But this Pharaoh knows that had it not been for a quirk of fate, that Moses would have been Pharaoh. So there's this fear. All right. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. And I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart. It's upon the heart that the plagues come. And upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power. There is no condition that can arise in the universe except for this cause, God raised that condition up to show forth his power. And you that rebel against the power are rebelling against God. That my name may be declared throughout all the earth, as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain, a very grievous hail. Such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Now, well, let me read. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast shall be found in the which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. And he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Now we could talk for 5 hours about verse 20 and 21. They're not Israelite. They're not part of the promise.
Right. Well, but if God, even though they were in Egypt, they could escape it.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon every man, upon beast, upon every herb, and upon every herb. Of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Now if you believe the book of Revelation, if you believe what I say about that the final seven plagues are the seven plagues of the book of Revelation, and you know something, you know that these hailstones were how big? 97 talents. How big is a talent? I mean, they were talent each, 97 pounds. 97 pound hailstones, average. Probably somewhere 95, somewhere 99. Huh? You want to put your, where do you bring your cat in?
You wouldn't want to be the mutual Omaha guy the next day, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You didn't. You don't want to be an automobile insurer. That
That's right. I told you, put the cattle away. But no.
So there was hail and fire. Now you know why these dogs were bitter. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Land of Goshen. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Moses brought his rod.
This reminds me of that the forecast thing. Rain, maybe, snow, no. Hail, yes.
And Pharaoh said, and called for Moses, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Now this is becoming a common little thread here. This is, Moses says, Pharaoh says, Okay, guys, I got it this time. Enough. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall be any more hail, that thou mayest know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Now,
on this deal with the, I just barely remember this, but The wheat and the rye are things that could be matzah, mm-hmm. and the flax and the barley. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah 28. See if we can learn a little bit more about hail stuff. Well, but before we do that, let's go to Revelation. Verse chapter 8. This is in the, they're opening the seals. And there was, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, the relationship, well, let's go to Revelation 16. She's, what?
There's a note in her book, and it says, could be Adam Bomb, only it's not, it's B-A-L-M.
If you have Gary's Bible.
A-D-A-M.
Adam Ball.
Okay, in verse in Revelation 16, it's the vials of wrath, and just go to the end of it in verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague was exceeding great. And in the, just to give you a hint, and then, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Well, anyway, the next, the first, in the preceding of Revelation, the next thing that happens, or the things that happens as a result of the plague of hail, is Babylon is destroyed. You got it? Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that Babylon isn't someplace over there in Iraq. Babylon is in here. And it's your propensity to be religious. It's your propensity to judge for yourself right and wrong, good and evil, what's nice and what isn't nice. The fundamental sin of Babylon is niceness. What? Okay, now go to Isaiah 28. I don't want to read the whole thing, but I'm supposed to read the whole thing. You read the whole thing on your own time. Verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, the spirit, a table is a place you go for sustenance. It's where you get your food. God says you should only eat at one table. You should partake with him of at God's table, which is the burnt offering, the altar. But and every other table is full of vomit. And the reason it's full of vomit, because it's spiritual food that has been digested by someone else and then thrown up. You understand me? There's no independent revelation. It's spiritual food that someone else has eaten, thrown up, and then you partake of it. Well, that's what vomit is, and filthiness. And then the question is, whom then shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Only them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. In a very real sense, mother's milk is vomit. In a spiritual sense. You got that? It is also in a natural sense. It's pre-digested stuff. One comes out of the mouth, one comes out of the nipple.
I have a glorified sweat gland.
It's a glorified sweat gland. But it's in fact, both vomit and mother's milk are human excrement. They're human waste and sweat. It's the same thing. Now, we're designed so that you need, at first, you have to, because you're still part and parcel of the mother, and this, the body is your mother, you're part and parcel of it, so that for a time, in the spirit, it's 3.5 years, you need the mother's milk to survive. But after 3.5 years, it's vomit. It's waste. You understand? So the question then is, if all tables are full of filth and vomit, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And he answers, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept, up to that point is what he's saying, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that been your experience, not only with Bible, but with life? You know, you go learn a little bit of stuff, and you try to get it right, and it's line upon line, precept upon precept, and you can go do something else, and it's line upon line, you got to get it right. It seems like your entire life is spent in becoming a freshman again. You know what I mean? You go, and you're a freshman in high school, and all of a sudden you're the low man on the totem pole. At least in first grade, you don't know any better. You just sort of...
The whole world's in first grade.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, then, you get some awareness, and all of a sudden you're a freshman, and everybody's dumps on you. And you don't know anything, and you're intimidated. And so then, okay, then you get to be a senior. Hallelujah, praise God, I got it made now, I know everything. And then you're a freshman again. Or, you know, and then you go out and be a freshman in the workplace. Or you go, even worse, you go into the military and you're a freshman. But you're a really bad freshman. What?
You're a second Louis.
Yeah, or really, yeah, that's the worst. The worst freshman there is in the entire world is a second lieutenant. But, I mean, every, and then so you go through life and you do a bunch of stuff, and then all of a sudden, my God, I'm a freshman again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Huh? You should have. I can't believe.
He's never been a senior.
Oh.
Kick his ass.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rip that phone
right
now.
Whose phone is that?
Well, someone, I can't get to. Well, maybe.
Precept must be upon precept. precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. What that means is, anything that you can understand by your mind is not God.
That's right.
You buy that, Rick?
Well, stop. That's right. I do buy that.
Anything that you try to apprehend, you're not being apprehended. You understand? God says the promise is complete at the cross. No effort on your part. Any attempts to apprehend, it's still in the process of line upon line, trying to get it right, trying to get it right, here a little, there a little. For only with stammering lips and another tongue, that's not another tongue, meaning something unintelligible to your mind, is he really speaking to you. You've probably read that 1,000 times, and this is the first time you've heard Torah.
Yeah, pretty much. On that one, yes.
You understand?
Yeah, I do. Well, seems like we'd be able to rest more.
You should rest all the time.
Well, I know. Yeah.
Everybody got, this is an important one. The stammering lips and another tongue while I speak unto this people. Doesn't mean running around like Gary used to believe that. It meant you run around and spoke in tongues all the time. Doesn't mean that. This is not a justification for tongue talking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yamata Dadabaha.
That was when we caught Tilton doing
with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Why? Because you have to try to get it right. Because you have to have the propensity to be leavened. Otherwise, you're of no use to God. What?
Yeah. Seems like I would have read ahead just a little bit there, but
I sort of got hoisted.
Yeah, I started to say it. I just blurted out and then
to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. What is the this? What is the this? Come on, some English scholar. Tell me what's that modifying? This is the rest. What is the this?
Being spoken to the surety
of that tongue process.
Right. Okay. The surety. The anchor of that process. But with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. But
there's always a but.
There's several of them in here. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept.
Wait a minute. Is that in 13, the word there? Does that mean the speaking? In that instance?
Neither one. The word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Now in the Hebrew, this is really wild because it just, you get bored. It's got the condition of boredom on it. Oh, I'm going to precept, oh, I got to learn these rules. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, I got to get it right. Oh, I got to be nice. Oh, I got to... Someday in the future it's going to happen. Someday my ship will come in and I'll understand. Hallelujah, praise God, brothers. Someday I'll cross over the Jordan and enter the promise. Hallelujah, brothers. Someday I'll get it right. Someday I'll understand. Someday I'll be nice. Someday I'll have enough money. Someday I'll get laid.
He was working the room.
Yeah, he was working the room. He's good.
Is that a promise?
What?
Is that a promise?
Yeah, someday.
Here a little, there a little.
Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. There's only one reason that you learn stuff, so that you can go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. There's only one reason that you think it's going to get better in the future and you're going to try to get it right next time, so you can go forward, fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. What?
Well, if that's with my experience, just keep falling backward and being broken.
Okay?
Like you've been taken by the mess.
You remember what we're talking about? Hailstones. Yeah. 97 pound hailstones.
Oh, God.
I was laughing. Harry's the only person in the congressional record on record who's been taken.
Broken.
Yeah.
But there's a dent in his right. Don't hit that knee. Hit that knee. Don't hit that. See, it doesn't hurt.
I hit you way down there.
Right there.
You got to hear this one.
The propeller of a Japanese.
He scored on his graduate GRE exam the highest score that has ever been scored in the history of his school.
I know all that, but if you hit him with a stick and heal that, they may cut off his pension. Don't heal me.
I need the 73 bucks.
I hate my hell to see that happen.
That's true.
I've seen him on the second every month. It's just something to behold.
All right. Wherefore?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
Where are we?
Wherefore?
We're about to make a covenant with that.
Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Now, who is that? You. You are the scornful one that rules that seed of Christ in you which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Just for those of you who are interested, the word death there, a covenant with death, the word death is the word, Hebrew word, mavet. And mavet is now not the noun for death. It's the proper noun for the name of the demon, Mavet. You have made a covenant with a demon. Now, how have you done that? You've made a covenant with a demon because you have denied the resurrection. You're not believing in Jesus Christ. You're believing in the resurrection God, Tammuz, who is going to resurrect someday, and someday my day will come. Today is the day of salvation. And that's the covenant that you make with death, and it's the evidence that you're at agreement with hell. Now, once you see that, all kinds of stuff will automatically happen in your brain cells. You understand? Every time you plan and make plans for yours for tomorrow. That's why this scripture is why Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for the clothes you'll wear. Take no thought for what you're going to put on. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for your life. Live in the perfect abandonment of a bird flying or a lily growing.
and your Father in heaven will take perfect care of you and meet every need that you have. But as long as you're making this little, these little trips in your mind, you have made a covenant with the demon Mavet, and with hell are you at agreement, because you've denied his finishedness. And there is no righteous position in any other place. It's his righteousness, not your hopes. Now, Paul talked about it. We're not done in that scripture. Keep your hand there and go to 1 Corinthians 10. Don't you see that the thing you've created that's going to take place in the future, no matter what it is an idol? And the idol isn't an idol by itself. The idol has to have a manifestation behind it, and the manifestation behind it is a demon. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 10, 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of, or are identified with the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything, i.e. in comparison with the altar of God? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, sacrifice meaning giving breath to, giving importance to, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would that you not have, that you should not have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. I mean, this is big stuff, folks. Babylon is the habitation of demons. You're protected here because you're down in the flat land. You haven't started the climb yet where the air gets thin and the separation between you and the spirit world. You're down here still with this big wall of separation. All right. You have made those lies your refuge, and under falsehood have you hid yourselves. The lies and falsehood that you have hid yourselves under is the magic, the mental gymnastics that you play to avoid confronting the cross of Christ. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. You shall never again, you shall not be forced to flee, because he is your covering. You shall not be forced to flee when judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. So the purpose of the plague of hail is to sweep away your refuge of lies. Rather than being under the covering of only the Father, you're under the covering of your lies, your idols, the things that you've imagined to, the things that you sacrifice to in your mind or in your heart. What are these? There's a million. They're represented by the barley and the rye that is coming up in a field. Billions of little barley rye plants coming up. Barley and flax. Pretty soon, the refuge of lie, the refuge of the hail comes, mingled with fire, and it destroys those refuge of lies.
In Exodus it says hail mixed with fire, and in Revelation it says hail mixed with fire and blood.
No,
Now, any place that you are not trusting in God, where you're trusting in something else, you're trusting in a relationship, you're trusting in a job, you're trusting in talents, looks, you're trusting in this group of people, any place that you're trusting other than God himself, this group of people can only be a manifestation of the individual's trust. For a time, a brief time, it becomes a sanctuary. But then it must needs be a place from which you are sent, not a place that you will stay. Otherwise, it will be a refuge of lies. You got it? So any place that you're trusting, your family, your friends, your talents, anything is a refuge of lies. And it must needs be destroyed. Let's go back to Isaiah 28. I want to show you something. Verse 17. And here God is saying that judgment will I also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. Now, the reason that we don't see clearly is that we don't lay judgment to the line and righteousness to the plummet. You spend your days in judgment and righteousness, or making judgments and attempts at righteousness, but in a way that's really stupid. Now, the conditions of attempting to gain righteousness and judgment are already laid out for us by Christ. And it's the way in which you will be covered during this hailstorm, that you'll be under the right covering, and it's in John 16. So let's go there. It's one of these mystery scriptures that nobody ever understands.
Book of John?
Huh?
Book of John.
God. No, the Song of John.
Not First John. John, the Gospel. The Gospel of John.
Gospel of John.
He was one of the Beatles.
Chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, and the things he had just spoken unto you, it's if the world hate you, don't be surprised they hated me before I hated you, and they called me demon-possessed, they'll call you demon-possessed, and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, all that light stuff. And then he says in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. In other words, when these things happen to you, don't be surprised. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Rex just got put out of a synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now, the word service there is the word, it's a technical term, it's latriai in the Greek. And it's a technical term that means the holy service in the temple. If they kill you, it'll be as though they are doing this God's holy service in the temple. I mean, these are the words. This is the evidence of that you're going to be a... This is what's going to happen to you when all of this stuff that we talk about is made public. Why in the hell do you want to be here? It's kind of stupid.
Hey, you're right.
Goodbye.
I'm out of here.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye. These things will I do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them.
And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, you've got to understand that this process is repeated throughout time. You have to stop. Jesus, after the flesh, has to depart from you. That's, as long as you're trying to get Jesus, i.e. get it right, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, be nice, get it all right, get it all together, then what you are trying to say to Jesus Christ is, here, be here right next to me in the flesh and hold my hand and walk with me in all these stupid theology songs that you hear. Yeah. But he must, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge, that if one judge for all, then we are all dead. But we that live no longer live unto ourselves, but him that rose again. And hereby know we no man after the flesh. Yea, we have, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. You can't, none of this mystery can take place until you no longer desire Christ after the flesh. That comes when you are weaned from the breast. You understand? The purpose of the hail is to cause you to get off the tit. All right. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now remember what we just said. Judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail, and I shall sweep, and the hail shall sweep away your refuge of lies. Now, what the hell does that mean? When he's coming, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Well, what we think it means is, I'll reprove the world because there's a porno shop down the street. I'll reprove the world because somebody did me harm. Or I'll reprove the world because of abortions, or 10,000 other million causes or situations that may exist between you and another person. But that's not what he says. He said, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not in me. Period. The only sin is not believing. The only unforgivable sin, which is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is not believing. You understand? Blaspheming is to deny the foundation, deny the foundation, deny the foundation, deny the foundation. Not standing on the foundation. To blaspheme is to step off the foundation. It's not saying the Holy Spirit is a dork.
No.
Huh?
Because in other cases he is.
Quick, cover up everybody. He said it.
I got it on tape.
The Holy Spirit is a dork.
No, it's to deny. It's not to believe, to deny the foundation. That is the sin. Every other sin that's mentioned in here is a parable. What?
This is a weird phrase. I'm sorry. It's striking funny.
Of sin because they believe not in me. Okay, so we got that one dealt with. Now we got to look at judgment and righteousness. Here, okay, you want to be a judge? You want to judge stuff? Here's laying judgment to the line. We'll do righteousness first. Put righteousness to the plummet. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. That is the only righteousness. Do you understand that? Mm. If you're going to start judging, don't be stupid at judging, which is judging little times, little bits and little pieces. That's back still eating off the dead table, the vomit. The only righteousness is that he's gone to his Father. That's the definition, the new definition of righteousness. There is no other. It's not being nice. It's not learning Bible stuff. It's not coming to Bible study. It's not beating your wife. It's not beating your husband. It's not behaving in a certain way. The only righteousness is that he has gone to his Father. Why? Because he completed the course. You got, this has got to hit you somewhere inside, otherwise the hail's going to beat you up. Of judgment. You want to judge? You want to be a judge? Oh, that fucking Barry.
Quote Rick.
Huh?
Quote Rick.
I said it earlier. Or whoever. I can't stand that. Doug still does it. He doesn't know I can hear him. And he's in there. He talks to himself all day, and all he does is, I hate that guy. I hate him. I can't stand him. I'm gonna get him someday. Yeah. This is judgment. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. It's finished. Those two scriptures are what it means. Back here in Isaiah, judgment will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet. I think I'm talking to air.
No, this is wild. It's just kind of...
Okay? Anything else is not worth your time. Anything else is stupid. Besides, there's a 97-pound hailstone that's going to get you if you believe anything else. All right. Judgment will I lay to the line, righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies.
What is that? Like, that's an idea of order?
28:17. That's the reason then for the hail. The reason the hail is here, and hopefully you will experience, since now we've talked about it, is that it will destroy your refuge of lies, and you will run for the singular covering. Your attempts at righteousness will be defined only by the fact that he has gone to the Father. Your stupid judgments will be defined only by the fact that the prince of the world is judged. Anything else is bullshit. No more little trips about complaining about people. Who cares? That's not an issue any longer. No more little trips and complaining about Ole's interrupting my day.
I can't promise that.
Well, then you're going to hit by a 97-pound hailstone and a bald head.
I hear you, I agree, I say amen, but I cannot promise that.
Okay. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it, if you're not under that covering. For from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to try to understand the report. What the hell does that mean?
Like you
can't even believe your ears. It shall be a vexation. Really what it says is it shall be a vexation to try to understand the doctrine.
Report that's in Isaiah 53,
mm-hmm.
Who would believe
their
report?
To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, Zion. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. That's all of the places that you go for rest and cover, save the one. You've been short, spiritually short-sheeted.
Short-sheeted again.
That's right. That's good. That's just right.
Okay. You understand the hail?
Hail, yeah.
You understand that, you know, if you want to make niceness your life, then ascend to the Father. Otherwise, abandon yourself.
Yes, sir.
I bet if Bush knew that, he'd never let him play Hail to the Chief again.
Well, I got a funny story for you. I got a letter from my mother, and yeah, and Dan Quayle's mother and father and his two brothers live in Wickenburg. And one of the brothers runs the little newspaper there. And I think I told you my sister dated him because he went to school there. And so it's a little town, right? A little resort town with all kinds of little tourist guys and stuff. Well, it's become an event. The Secret Service have taken over the town, you know. He was there all Easter.
And they're following your sister?
No, no, she's gone.
To protect Dan Quayle.
To Dan Quayle in Wickenburg.
Circle K.
You've the best insurance policy since Lloyd's in London.
Yeah, there's no secret. There's not Bush.
That's what I mean. No, yeah, they don't need to be.
They got nothing to do.
Anyhow, that's it. I don't feel like talking anymore. Everybody understand perfectly? Mm-hmm. Okay, how many more plays do we have left?
Someone's gone back here. You won't see her.
Bye.
She's going to an island off the coast of what, Virginia?
Are you
going to
do some
South Carolina?
Oh, which one? Which island?
Hilton Head. I'm sorry.
You going to Hilton Head?
Kiowa. There's too many questions.
Where are you going?
Kiowa. It's an island.
I don't know. Is that... Hilton
Head.
Oh. I think that's one that they just stole back from the Indians.
Herbicide will be there.
Herbicide will be there.
Oh, well,
try to have a good time.
Take it, big guy.